Not many opportunities like this that you get in a lifetime. This is a very young season right now. A lot at stake on this football game. But for what you pay the price for, there are great rewards.
Are you ready?
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Good morning. Welcome into the Blitz today here on Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio. I would say it is a beautiful Wednesday morning out here in East Tennessee, but it is not. It is raining. It is pouring. There's thunder, if you will. I don't think there's that.
Not really any thunder.
I am joined, as always, Brandon Orrick, Chance Collins. How are you guys doing today?
Pretty good, Rick.
Yeah.
Pretty good. It's a rainy day. It's okay, though.
Rainy day. A little disappointing. Disappointing because I want to clear skies today. Had a big day planned. Had a really big day planned. Mother Nature had other plans. You could say some people might have got off the hook today.
Yeah, you could say that, you know, that your plans just didn't hit the finish line today.
Yep.
But that's all right.
There's always tomorrow.
Things can always get
tomorrow,
restarted.
The sun will come out tomorrow. It's only a day away.
Actually, I think they're calling for showers tomorrow.
Thank you, Annie.
Then there's the next day, Brandon. You can't escape, Rick.
I'm here. I'm not trying to escape. I was going to do it in jeans today. I got my Nikes on. I was going to do it.
I don't think that would have went over very well for you. Me and Rick had a race today. Happy birthday, Rick.
Thank you.
It's Rick's birthday.
Thank you.
Go ahead and give him a happy birthday.
We're supposed
to race. It's been in a month in plan for some reason. Rick thinks I'm slow because he's got a little age on me. I mean, look, I got age on him.
I never said you were slow.
I think you called everybody slow.
No, I just said that I believe that I was faster.
Speaking of,
did you guys see that video of that guy who tried to, like, lunge at that bear in East Tennessee?
Wait, what?
Are you talking about the one with the cubs?
Yes.
Yeah, we talked about that. While you were out.
That almost got attacked by the bear?
Yeah. I'll tell you right now, I watched that video. You know what I thought?
You can't outrun a bear.
I thought I can't outrun that big bear. Those small bears.
The cubs?
I'm sure I could get away. The mama bear wasn't there, and those cubs were chasing after me. You can send two of them after me. I think I could outrun them.
I think they were one tiny. Probably hawk you down. They were very tiny, but you got to think the mama's always around. So I don't think that's going to go very well for you.
Yeah, this would be a controlled environment.
And just to think, we thought that you might have seen the video and actually might have come to your senses, but you see the video and just think about the cubs.
Well, I came to the senses in this fact that I didn't think I was going to outrun the mama bear. Man, what an idiot that guy was. At least, like, when we talk about this, it's in a very hypothetical world, and God knows that if I actually was approached by a bear, the last thing I would do is run away and just think that I could.
You should never run. You should back away slowly and make yourself big and scream and make a lot of loud noise. You definitely should never run.
But you know, our thoughts are always in a hypothetical situation. This idiot decided to confront the bear, and not the small ones, the big one. Some people out there, man. Some people.
Other people's kids.
It's true. So, SEC Media Days have happened. I guess they are.
Currently happening.
But the stuff that we cared about, it happened yesterday. Did you guys get a chance to see all of the Media Day shenanigans that happened?
No, I didn't watch all of them.
I watched most of it. sit back and relax, watch most of it. I actually kind of like took a mid-afternoon nap, missed some of the players, but I saw most of Jeremy Pruitt. I mean, his 20-minute, whatever that was. I mean, just
yeah, that was interesting.
Everyone's calling it a 20-minute recruiting pitch, he did single out like when I. So I heard that headline before I actually heard Jeremy Pruitt. Right, yeah. That it was just one huge recruiting pitch, and I was like, well, you know, obviously he's boosting up the school, the university, the team. You know, that so that makes sense. Then I go back and look at it, and it is literally a recruiting pitch. He is calling out high schoolers. I thought that was so good.
Well, I think it was a recruiting pitch, but it seemed like a filibuster. Like, it seemed like he went up there, you get a certain lot of time at the podium to speak and to take questions. He took, I think Houston tweeted, I took, 21 minutes of his 30 minutes allotted time. So
yeah.
I feel like he does that, yeah, to go through, do the whole recruiting pitch, talk about his staff. You know, he's really excited about his staff. You can tell that he's really excited about his staff. But for the most part, it seemed like he didn't want to answer a lot of questions as well. He was sweating, too.
Well, I mean, we know he doesn't like talking to the media.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, I just feel like he talked as long as he did also, so he didn't have to answer any questions that he didn't feel like answering, especially things that really can't be answered until guys get out on the field. I mean, like, whether it's the quarterback stuff and how guys are, you know, progressing and with the new coaches. Yeah, he doesn't like to answer questions to the media. We've seen that. He always looks awkward. He's up there sweating through the suit, and he didn't want to talk much. He wanted to talk, but he didn't want to talk to anybody else.
I mean, I don't have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem with it, but it just is what it is. Like, yeah, there's no problem.
The guy doesn't like talking to the media. I think it's a power move. Talk basically 66% of the time that you're up there. Leave a third of the time for them to ask questions. Power move.
It's a power move, but I feel like if it wasn't Jeremy Pruitt and its other teams were like, why the hell is Dan Mullen talking so long? What the hell is he talking about? Like, if it's anybody else, but it's since it's, you know, Pruitt. I don't know. It seemed like a little much to me. I got old. It almost put me to sleep.
I loved everything about Media Day for Tennessee yesterday. I loved the way that, you know, like you guys are saying, I loved the way he just sat there and talked. He kept the ball in his own court the entire time. It didn't matter if it was swing passes around the arc until the shot clock got down to 4%. He just kept the ball. I thought it was great. I thought his suit was great. He looked like a walking football.
That suit was awful.
He looked like a football.
The suit was
because
atrocious.
He's a football guy. That's what he does. He dresses like the sport that he's coaching. I like the players. I liked everything.
Nick Saban's
about
a football guy, but he ain't coming out there in nasty
look,
brown suit.
Here's the
like,
thing.
Come on, there's
here's
a lot.
The
like, miss me with that football
here's
guy stuff.
Thing.
Dabo Swinney's a football guy. He has taste. He gets tailored suits. I'm tired of people.
Look,
he's a football guy. No, he dresses awful. He might be a good football coach, but he does dress awful.
Here's the thing.
He looks like he got his suit at JCPenney.
Here's the thing.
Maybe he did.
I could not care less about Nick Saban, about Dabo Swinney, about Kirby Smart, about Dan Mullen.
I'm just
about
saying.
About everybody.
They're all football guys.
I care
guys,
about our guy.
But they're
I
football
loved
guys.
Our guy.
They're football
I
guys.
I loved what he does. He doesn't need the expensive suits.
And they win.
He
and
doesn't
football
need to
guys.
Look like Ric Flair up there. He doesn't need to look like any of that. He dresses like a football.
He needs
in
to look like a grown
suit.
Ass man and not a kid who hates wearing suits. That's what he needs to look like.
Dude, he looks fine. He looked fine.
He looked awful.
He's just wearing a brown suit.
It doesn't matter what he looks like as long
bleep
as he wins.
Brown
that's what I'm saying.
Suit. Bleep brown suit.
You know
suit.
What he's going to be wearing on the sidelines? He's going to be wearing a quarter zip white Tennessee Nike hoodie with a big old orange
hoodie?
Power T on it. Right? It's going to be great. It doesn't matter what he's wearing now. I just liked it, though. I liked what he did. I liked that it wasn't over the top. I liked that he looked like a stinking football. I liked everything about Media Day for Tennessee yesterday. I thought it was great. I thought the players got into some good stuff, and we have lots of sound bites and audio things that we'll play for you in case you missed it, in case you maybe you only read about it, you want to hear it with your own ears. We got plenty of that coming up on the show for you today, so don't go anywhere because we got that. I thought Jarrett Garantano had a couple of very good kind of things he had to say, and obviously, you know, we're not making our big judgments on, you know, at least I feel like I'm not, about what they say at Media Day, right? And it's everything that they say you're supposed to like. It is handcrafted that the fans like what you're saying, and we get that. But nonetheless, I did like what he had to say. I thought it was good. I thought what Pruitt had to say was good. Again, I love the wide receiver recruiting pitch. I don't know. To me, Media Days never gets me fired up. It just doesn't. But yesterday I was sitting there way more enjoyed than I thought I would be. What else is coming up on the show today? Well, really that. There's a couple of NFL things that I think would be fun to get into later. Brandon has finished Stranger Things. Chance, have you?
No, I have not. Can't talk about it yet.
I just want to hear Brandon's very spoiler-free reaction. I got him to binge the whole thing yesterday. Well, most of it. There is a alcohol update for Neyland Stadium, so I am told. And then a couple more things. But really, the bulk of today will be the Media Day. The Media Day
reaction. What did you learn? What did you like? How do you feel now going into the season?
That's exactly right. So don't go anywhere. We got the opening drive coming up next. We will get through it nice and easy and quick, and then we will get into some of this audio. You are listening to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio. Back here on The Blitz, 10:15 a.m. Matt joins us in studio. We are happy that he is here. So let's go ahead and get right into this. We will do what we always do about this time of the morning, and we will get into the opening drive. First down. A longtime University of Tennessee cheer coach retired Tuesday. Her name is Joy Postel G. She was the cheer coach here for over 25 years. However, Tuesday ended a 13-month investigation into allegations that she made, quote, racially and ethnically insensitive remarks. So you have the cheer coach here, longtime cheer coach. And I guess 13 months ago, the University of Tennessee's Office of Equity and Diversity conducted an investigation that seems to have just wrapped up. The investigation found evidence of poor and demeaning treatment of members of the Spirit Squad, as well as instances of disorganization when it came to how the program was managed. There's a bit of news that could sneak right under your nose, considering it's, you know, cheerleading. We don't really get that much news about cheerleading. But this is a big thing that's happening at the school right now. I think it'd obviously be bigger if, you know, school was in session and students were there and walking around. But this came down last night.
Yeah, you hate to see things like this.
You do.
Somebody, longtime member of staff, faculty, goes down. Something that definitely hate to hear anybody involved with. Like you say, it's cheerleading though, so it's not going to really move the needle or anybody going to really catch a hold of. It's not going to be a big story, but you still hate to see it happen on your campus.
Fire up the hot board.
Oh, do we need another coaching search?
Who you going to get?
Big cheerleading. That should be our main thing from here on out.
It should not, but
okay.
We can say we tried.
That's a fair point. Second down. The Cleveland Cavaliers have waived one infamous, the notorious, the shirtless J.R. Smith.
Pipe master J.R. Smith out. Now, wonder where he's going to sign.
Realistically, like, this shouldn't be a big deal.
No.
Right? But it's because it's J.R. Smith and everyone knows about him.
No, J.R. Smith, he hadn't put his shirt back on since 2016 when they won the finals. So
fair point.
He did play in the celebrity baseball game or softball game for the All-Star weekend with no shirt. He still has not put his shirt on. Nah, J.R. Smith, you know, he's a long time. He could always stroke him from three, man, his antics on the court. He's a kind of a funny guy. What you see is what you get. It'd be interesting to see if, like, maybe the Lakers go after him. I think he'd be very cheap. probably that veteran minimum for a team. Maybe not the Lakers. You might be looking at Houston. You could be looking at the Brooklyn Nets. You could even be looking at Golden State, maybe bring him out there. They need some shooting help with Klay Thompson out and how they lost Kevin Durant and somebody to help Steph with a little bit of load. I don't think he has a lot of years left in him, but he probably can be serviceable to somebody.
Yeah, and so basically what had happened was that at 5 p.m. on Monday, there was a deadline for the Cavs to either waive him or trade him before his $15.5 million deal became partially guaranteed. One follow-up on that chance is the Lakers will not be a destination for J.R. Smith. He, I guess LeBron, you know, general manager LeBron does not want him. Wojnarowski tweeted out yesterday, once guard J.R. Smith clears waivers, the Los Angeles Lakers are an unlikely destination.
I mean,
league sources.
LeBron's still probably a little bit irritated in game one against the Warriors when they had the game one and J.R.
He probably is.
And J.R. called a timeout, man. I mean, like, hey.
Yeah.
Head's not in the game. Can't be my teammate anymore. Don't show a strong basketball IQ.
He has been there, done that.
Yep.
Third down. Kevin Durant says he's come out and he says why he joined the Nets. Quote, because I hated the Knicks.
Interesting.
Wow. It's not true. That's not true. April Fools. Gotcha.
It's not April.
This is what he said.
What are you doing?
It's not April Fools.
I wanted to see if I could slide one past you guys. You bought it. You bought it like the fish I caught the other day. Just came right up. Hook, line, sinker. Kevin Durant said, I love the system. I love how you guys play. I see how hard you guys play. You were never out of games. We could never take you guys lightly.
Yeah, I saw that come across yesterday. I mean, what is he going to say? Like, it seems like, you know, whatever happened with the Knicks, couldn't get it worked out. Maybe once saw that he had the injury, not a lot of people were going to be able to come there and play with him. I don't know. He wanted to go to the Knicks at one point, and yeah, the Nets are good, but, like, come on, dude. We were never out of it. I don't think he really believes that. I mean, I think that that's just what he says to his new team.
Yeah, and I would love to know the real reason, right? Because you know that players will always have the correct things to say in these situations. I love the coach. I love the teammates. I love, you know, this and this. But some of these guys like Kawhi Leonard, some of these guys like Kevin Durant, I would love to know what the true behind-the-scenes detailing is.
You want the deets.
Yeah, behind why they go where they go.
You want the deets. You want the deets. You'll never get it, but I mean, we all would like to hear him just come out and say, ah, I hated playing with Draymond.
Yeah,
he was a bleep.
That's exactly right.
He was a bleep, you know, things like that. He loved it here. I hated playing with Steph and being the second best player on the team, considered by some when I'm the best player or the second best player in the world. So, yeah, like, you'd love for him to come out and say that. He has burner accounts. I mean, he barely admitted to that. I mean, he really didn't. I guess never really admit to it, but.
Yeah. All right, Brandon, what do you want here for fourth down? You want Space Jam or you want Tiger Woods?
Tiger Woods.
Oh, you don't want Space Jam?
No.
Chance, should we go Space Jam?
Then why'd you ask me?
Giving you a chance to say Space Jam.
If you wanted Space Jam, just go Space Jam.
I'll go both.
Tiger Woods says that the Masters took a lot out of him when he enters the British Open, which tees off tomorrow, I believe it is. I love the British Open. I think
last big major of the tour.
But that was kind of an interesting thought when Tiger won, right? Because the immediate conversation afterwards was,
he's back.
Is Tiger back? Like, is this the revitalization that he was looking for? Is this what's going to happen? Is he going to break the record now? And he really hasn't done much else since. And so, you know, now he's coming out and he's kind of talking about it. He's saying, hey, that was the peak. That was the absolute pinnacle. And it's just kind of hard to come around now. I mean, he did all right in the, which was the one just the other week on Father's Day? I don't know. The U.S. Open. He did all right there. I believe he was playing on Saturday, but still, it'll be interesting. I can't wait for the U.S. Open starting tomorrow.
Hell, if Tiger just wins one major for me for the next 5 years each year, I'm cool with that. May not break the record, but I'd be all right with it. We get that one glimpse of Tiger. We get the excitement. We get the, you know, the nostalgia. I'm cool with it. Yeah. He could win the Masters just every year, and that'd be good enough for me. That's like such. That's probably one of my, probably the favorite tournament on the tour for a lot of people. So, I think he got the one major. That's all I needed for my soul for this year.
If he does terrible in every single major except the Masters each year,
I'm straight with
and he's
it.
In kind of contention,
or
on
he wins
Sunday,
them, I'm good with it.
People will lose their minds. People will be so happy because ultimately, when people think about Tiger Woods, like if he goes out there and he wins the British Open this weekend, it'll be a big deal. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely,
Tiger Woods
positively.
Back in the media, but it will be nowhere close to what happens if he wins the Masters next year. Or if he wins it 2 years from now. People care about the Masters more.
Agreed.
That right there is the opening drive. But we said that we would get into the good stuff right after. The stuff that you came to listen to. Media Day. So I'm going to start this off kind of where Jeremy Pruitt started off his thing. And we will certainly get into his filibuster, as I believe Chance put it earlier. But here's kind of what he said. To start out one of the, just kind of one of his talking points. Quote, wide receiver, you would think would be a strength on our team. Like I said, we only have 12 seniors, but four of them are wide receivers. I'm going to say that again. Four of them are wide receivers. So if I was a wide receiver in high school, Tennessee would be a pretty great landing spot in the near future.
That was directed at Rakim Jarrett.
No doubt about it. Come here, you play, you will be impactful.
100% that was directed at Rakim Jarrett.
Yeah. I love this guy. I love that he just went out there and said it. He didn't dance around it. You know, he didn't kind of insinuate it or drop hints at it. He came right out and he said it. He said, hey, if you're in high school and you're a wide receiver and you're trying to go play college football, Tennessee is a great place for you, and we want you here. Like, I love that. He's working to make this team better. He doesn't need to do it the way that looks good, the way that is, you know, correct of coaches to do. He's just going to come out and say, I'm going to get the best players on our team. I don't really care how it's done. I don't really care if I have to sit there in the middle of my SEC Media Day's press conference and put a recruiting pitch to kids nationwide and coaches nationwide, I'm going to do it. I love that he did that.
Well, I mean, it's dead period right now. They can't really talk to recruits anyway. He probably knows that this will get back to recruits. Recruits will hear this. They'll see this. So, I mean, props to Pruitt using the avenues that he has to get his message out. And I think that's kind of, that may be part of the reason why he talked longer. I do think that part of it's like we talked about, he probably didn't want to answer questions from the media. But I think he knew that his time to talk in front of the media, I mean, it's basically a recruiting pitch. I mean, yeah, you're talking about your team and how things are different from year one to year two. But essentially, it's just a recruiting pitch. And props to Pruitt for kind of taking that to his advantage and using it. And, I mean, I'm sure all these coaches do it, but I'm fine with him talking as long as he wants.
Well, it's interesting because the last time he talked was last year's SEC Media Days. And Pruitt specifically name-dropped two towns during his statement. He dropped Huntington, West Virginia, and Charlotte, North Carolina. Those just so happened to be the hometowns of five-star tackle Darnell Wright and four-star athlete Quavarius Crouch. So I think that he knows what he's doing. He knows the nuances of something like this, right? Because this isn't just for the fans, right? This isn't just us for, you know, for us to break down here on a radio show. I think that the people who are interested in Tennessee are certainly watching this, right? When Quavarius Crouch and Wright saw this last year and they saw, you know, their towns being name-dropped during his statement and during his press conference, they understand that, hey, this guy is like, he is thinking about me a lot. Like, this is a guy that wants me to play for their program, and it just so happened that Pruitt was able to reel them in. So I really think that he knows what he's doing, and I think that this is something that, you know, if you're not in Tennessee, like, this is something that you probably could poke fun at and make fun of. Look at this guy. Look at this guy over here at Tennessee. He's got to do his recruiting pitch right here. He's got to put an open challenge out for all the receivers in high school. But I think that you can look at it in so much of a smarter way. And I think that is the way that Jeremy Pruitt is going about things.
Yeah, I mean, it could be kind of taken as pandering, but it's college football.
Yeah.
You got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what it takes to win.
And like I said, it's dead period right now. They don't have much contact. They don't really have any contact with recruits right now. So why not?
So that right there is kind of how Pruitt began his press conference. We're about to take a quick break, but coming up right after the break is the audio that you have been waiting to hear. So we'll drop some of that, I believe. Brandon, what audio do we have? We have Pruitt.
Do we
have Garantano?
I don't think so. There's some from Feinbaum, Brad Nessler, some different people. We'll get to it.
There you go. That's what it's going to be. Coming up next, don't go anywhere. You are listening to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio. Back here on The Blitz, 10:33 a.m. If you would like to join the program today, with. But one of, I think, the big things that people certainly want to know is his overall thoughts on last year as a whole. And so our own Trey Wallace, you can hear him on The Drive. Typically, he is at SEC Media Days currently. He put out a great video on his Twitter. I believe it is at Trey Wallace _. And what he wrote here was a very honest answer from Jeremy Pruitt on what happened last season and what he learned from year one. So we're going to go ahead and play this article. This is coming from Jeremy Pruitt's press conference, and then we'll talk about it. If you have your own thoughts on it, go ahead and give us a call afterwards. But here it is, Jeremy Pruitt on his thoughts last football season.
It's not been the kind of trademark of the teams that I've coached. You know, we've played the right way. We've played smart. We didn't beat ourselves. So I'm sitting there, okay, how does this happen? You know, and I go back, and it's pretty simple. The first 6 months that I'm at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville, I'm trying to fix everything, right? So we want to get the weight room right. We want to get the practice fields right. We want to get nutrition, just everything that goes into building the program for the next 10 to 20 years. And I lost the most important thing to me, which was our players in itself. And the relationship that has always been a strength of mine. So I talked to my wife about it, and it was pretty interesting. You know, she's always, wherever we've been, she's always tried to take a lot of credit for the success that we've had, you know, over the years. You know, so I asked her when the season was over with on Christmas. I said, you know, babe, you hadn't mentioned a whole lot about, you know, your contributions to this year's season. And she said, well, if you had moved me to Knoxville in January instead of June, we'd have went 8-4 instead of 5-7. So, but I have learned a lot this offseason, and it was pretty easy fix to fix our relationship with our players and build a relationship. And it takes time, right? Over time, you learn to trust people and you get to know them and know who they are. And with that, you know, it's been very positive this offseason. Our players are comfortable around our coaching staff. And you can see guys that maybe at one time I wondered whether or not they'd be able to help us, you know, win what we want to accomplish at Tennessee, to where I see guys that are kind of growing and developing and
so that right there, Jeremy Pruitt on what happened last year, kind of what he learned overall. Did anything stick out of that to you guys?
I mean, I remember when Pruitt was first hired, whenever he left Alabama after he coached back in the national championship game, the thing that stuck out to me was all of the relationships that he had with his players. All of his players were coming up to him, giving him a hug. And he touched on that.
He touched on that they didn't have that this past season, but that was something that he struggled with.
They didn't do as well. It's something that he would like to work on. And I think that
affects how.
I mean, obviously, it affects
chemistry.
And kind of having that trust
and knowing that your coach has your back. So hopefully, and he even said it. They're working on that this year.
You kind of can read football, like, you know, you've watched a lot of football. We've been around, you know, up here around the university for quite some time. You could tell they gave up on him. Like, there's no doubt about it. At the end of the year, the team gave up on him. That's why you lose to Vanderbilt. That's why you lose in the fashion that you did the last couple of games. Like, that team gave up on him, so that surprised me. It more or less a little bit surprised me that he was open about it, that kind of, you know, that he was so candid that, yeah, you know, lost my players. And that's probably because coming in as a new coach, not establishing those relationships early on like he probably wanted to, you know, as he talked about. But now, you know, they got more of a rapport. He knows the guy's tendencies. He's become acclimated to being in East Tennessee. He's become acclimating to being a head coach. Like, for anybody who just thought it was going to be easy, he wasn't left with much the way everything has been trending. And then at the same time, he still is a first-time head coach.
Yeah, and
so,
I mean,
like, it wasn't going to be easy for anyone. So,
sure.
The first year was definitely a wash.
Yeah, and he even said it to kind of open up that statement there. He said, when we first got, we had to fix everything.
Well, and so that was kind of my biggest takeaway from it is, and I think a lot of people are like this, right? We talked a lot last week about how I was moving into, right, this new apartment. And Brandon was doing the same thing. And the first thing I did was I took so much time to set up everything I had. Right, I had to make sure my computer was in the right place and my clothes were in the right place. And you take all this time setting up, and that's kind of how Pruitt felt when he got into the program for the first time. Right, he talked about making sure the schedules were correct and the nutrition side of things were correct and that all of these different things were correct. And so when you take up so much time doing that and setting it up everything the right way and setting it up the way that you believe is the formula to win, there are things that have to take a back seat. And so he kind of explains, you know, hey, what I want to do is I want to form relationships with these players. That is what I want to pride myself on. Because, yes, it's about football, but it's also just about life. And I think that something that every coach benefits from in year two, but I really think that you can tell just by the way that Pruitt is talking about this, is how much benefit there will be to everything already being set up the way that he wants to go. I think that you can start to see that in recruiting, right? Now that he's starting to get another class underway, we're getting Knoxville guys, we're getting better talent overall. And I certainly think that you will be able to see that in the preparation for the games. Because I think, yes, the players at times certainly failed us at the end of last season. I also think that this coaching staff failed the team in a lot of ways at the end of last season. The play calling was atrocious. We weren't seemed to be lined up during the right defensive plays. Heck, there were times where we couldn't even tackle Vanderbilt players, right? And a lot of that is fundamental. So now you get all that extra stuff out of the way. You get all the nutrition and the food things and the way that your locker room looks, and you got everything to the side. You now have your coaching staff that you believe is the staff, and now you can really get to work. And I think that makes a lot of sense.
I think so, too. 865-546-8200. Let's go to the Next Door Home Group hotline. grab Josh. Josh, how's it going, man?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey.
Not too much, Josh.
I get a little sheepy this morning. Listen to that.
A little bit.
It's tough. I feel like that's what Media Days is good for. Get you feeling good.
I like you guys, man. I think you'll win here in time. I don't think he'll win this year, but I think, he's got the formula. I think he'll win. He seems like a real guy, unlike Brick by Brick, who watch collections and Air Jordan tennis shoes. I mean, that stuff isn't real, man.
Yeah, and another thing, another one of his quotes that I don't have audio for, but is also talking about last year. He says we lose a couple games because of mental errors. You lose a couple games because we weren't competing as hard as we were earlier in the season. And he says that's obviously on me. That's something that we never heard from Butch Jones, was taking responsibility, taking ownership for losses. And I think that's big that he takes ownership and admits that, yeah, that's my fault.
Yeah, I mean, I heard Nathan Houston talking earlier about we're finally paying we're paying for good people like the coaching staff. We're actually paying more than Georgia's paying right now. And I think the difference in Pruitt and Kirby Smart, I think they're both elite defensive coaches. And there's not many elite defensive coaches out there, but I think those two are. And the difference is Kirby Smart walked into top 15 talent, and he put two Alabama classes with that talent, and then put his imprint on that defensive side, and they turned into what they are. And I think, Pruitt walked into a cratered program where our roster, we just didn't have anything, And it's going to take a little longer, but I think this guy can win with, I think he's just as good as Kirby Smart,
I think so too, Josh, and I agree. You look at what Mark Richt left at Georgia when Kirby Smart got there.
Yeah, but at the same time, Kirby's done a good job. I know we don't care for Kirby around here. It's Georgia, and we're going to stick up for our guy. But, I think we got to pump the brakes, saying we got to wait and see, Josh. I mean, at the same time, I think he can be as good as Kirby. I don't know if he is as good as Kirby right now. Kirby played in the national championship. You got to give him something
right
for that.
I mean, he's got to learn to be a head coach.
Exactly. I mean, still,
Kirby had to learn to be a head coach too. He went 6-6 with a lot more talent than Pruitt had at going 5-7.
No doubt.
And honestly, we played a lot tougher schedule than they did. But what I'm saying is Kirby is an elite coach. He's an elite defensive coach.
Yeah, one of the best.
He's not a good coach.
One of the best.
I'm just saying Pruitt is, I think he's just as good as a defensive coach.
I'll never say, I've talked about Florida State. That 2013 year, it's one of the best defenses in history of college football and one of the best defenses I've ever seen, Florida State. Head of the helm of a defensive coordinator, Jeremy Pruitt. And all those players talk about him. They sent, I want to say it was at least five plus first rounders that next year they sent. When we're talking about he was Jalen Ramsey and also PJ Williams, all those guys, Darby. Who's in the league? He done a hell of a job with that defense. Yeah, as far as defensive goes, I'd never worry about his defense. They're gonna.
Yeah, well, what I want to see this year is the defense take a big step. I know the defensive line isn't that great. It's kind of thin with all new guys, but I want to see the defense as a whole take a step, because he's done that everywhere he's been in year two. Now the offense, I don't put much expectations on that. We don't, we got two freshman offensive linemen, center who played, half a game, Trey Smith, who you don't know if he's going to be there week to week. And, we don't have any elite skill players, in my opinion. I mean, we might have a few wide receivers, but there's no elite running back or elite quarterback there yet. We've got to build a line of scrimmage and then get some good skill players in there, and you can see, you'll start seeing this turn around a little bit. But it's going to take a lot longer because the program was in so bad a shape. But I think we got the right guy getting full cornbread this morning. Really sheepy. So, anyway, Y'all hang in there, fellas.
I appreciate the call, Josh. I'm starting to get excited for football. And I know it happens every year, but I'm with Josh.
You're getting a little sheepy.
I am.
Yeah, you are.
It's good. I think you need
keep
to
keep a cup on.
Listen, I mean, you can have your cup on, but
early.
You can be excited.
I told Brandon when I was saying, yeah, SEC media days makes you feel football is right around the corner. Other day, Brandon was like, I don't know. Now today's full sheep. Look what a difference a day makes.
But you can't always
full sheep. I just said I'm getting.
You're full sheep.
I'm not.
You're full
sheep.
Look, you can't always be living in the rainstorm. Sometimes you got to come out. You got to appreciate what's going on around you. You got to get excited for the storm to pass. I really believe that we have a lot of things to be excited about this year. I think we got a good football coach. I think we got a good team and a good coaching staff. We'll see how it all plays in together. One last segment coming up of hour number one. Don't worry. We got a whole nother hour ahead for you. You're listening to The Blitz, Fan Run Radio. I have been very infatuated with the old pictures that are going around Twitter. I think they're absolutely hilarious. And anybody else?
I like them. I like the face app.
Have you done one yet?
I have. I actually, funny story. I did one, and I posted like, I posted like a, I guess like a spill of what, like,
yeah,
still doing radio, and I put, hey, we're meeting at the SSS on Kingston Pike. Matt this morning, 8:30, texts me, so are we meeting at the studio or the S&S on Kingston Pike? I was like, no, man, that was a joke. I was like, did you not see the picture with it? I was like, that was a joke. That was the face app. Yeah, he actually thought we were doing a remote.
Oh, that's pretty good.
At the S&S.
That's pretty good.
It was actually really good.
Brandon, you have not done one of these yet.
No.
You have not figured out your old persona yet.
No, and I don't really want to.
I got you, fam.
You don't want to?
No.
Why?
Don't worry, Brandon. I got you.
What does it hurt you to do?
It's just funny. Don't get it.
You don't want to see what you're going to look like years from now, aged?
I bet you'll laugh.
I'm not going to look like that.
Maybe.
You might.
You might.
You might.
You definitely might.
You could.
It's a possibility.
Did you ever do the...
How long is this going to go on for?
Probably a couple days, then it'll fade out.
You're one of those people. You don't like fun.
Not fun.
You're one of those people. You're one of those people that's like the no fun police. The people that are like, you know what? I haven't seen a single episode of Game of Thrones. Nobody bleeping cares that you haven't. You're one of those people. I see, Brandon. You take it.
I love Game of Thrones. I just don't get what's fun about taking a picture making yourself look old. I don't get it.
It's something you don't see every day. Speaking of things that will never go away.
Oh, man, I got a good one.
Is Brandon. Old Town Road.
Oh, no.
There's a...
Old Town Road
will never... There's a dubstep version.
Ever go away. This guy, Lil Nas X...
It will go away.
...will just keep doing remixes of this song until the day he dies.
Why would he not?
Have you seen his latest video?
The
Area 51.
Yep. Mason Ramsey.
Ramsey.
He's got him on the track now, Young Thug.
If you don't giddy up, then you can giddy out my way.
That's right.
That's a line right there.
Loving it.
That's a banger.
He's never going away, Brandon.
He's not.
Yeah, he is.
Look, this video reminds me of an Adult Swim late night cartoon weird TV show. It is the weirdest thing. It is the regular Old Town Road song. Granted, it's the remix. But there are so many weird elements to this video. Me and Ben dissected it frame by frame this morning. The best part.
Did a deep dive.
We did an exponentially deep dive. The best part is Keanu Reeves Naruto running into the Area 51 base.
God, have you seen the video of like the people practicing their Naruto run?
No, if we Naruto run, their bullets can't hit us.
That's really good. That's been cracking me up, people practicing their Naruto run.
Oh, man, how many people don't know what Naruto is listening?
They don't. We just sound like a bunch of
nerds. I would say the vast majority. Brandon, do you know what Naruto is?
I've seen it, but I've never watched a episode.
Intern Matt, give me a nod if you
Matt
know.
Matt does.
Matt knows.
Matt's
yeah.
a nerd. Matt and I talked. Matt and I talked video games for over 3 hours, or 3 hours, over 30 minutes.
I was
last week.
That is a long time.
We went back and forth on video games, and the conversation was not even 10% done.
Could have went more. Could have went longer.
We got some nerds.
Video game podcast.
We're some nerds. Yeah, video game podcast. It would have 6 viewers, but that's all right.
Those 6 viewers would appreciate it, wouldn't they?
You darn right. So that is what I saw today. Chance, you also, speaking of funny videos on Twitter, you had one that I was dying laughing at today. The people in Chick-fil-A,
in the Chick-fil-A
singing Lean On Me.
Lean On Me. Dude, Chick-fil-A, it is such a place of joy and happiness.
Was that one of those like flat, like that had to have been a setup, right? Like a men's a cappella group went in there and they did it. But because some of the people looked way too, you know, there were harmonies, there were cannons. It was a real performance. But then you could tell the people
cannons.
Who were just in the store.
You had a
cannon. Right. No, a musical cannon, Brandon. Open your mind to the arts, all right?
It's when Duh, Brandon.
You start singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
You didn't know,
and
did
then
you?
I start singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
And then I start singing
right.
Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
And then Matt starts
singing Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
That's right. And we're all about 4 beats off of each other. It's musically brilliant.
You didn't know that?
I didn't know that's
Were
what
you not
called.
In like an elementary TMYK? School choir?
No.
What?
You weren't in the Glee Club?
No.
I was in the Glee Club.
Dabbled a little
like
bit.
Kind of. I did
Whoa,
choir.
Whoa, you look like you might be.
Longer than I did sports in junior high school and high school and middle school.
Nothing wrong with that, Rick.
I'm proud of it. I'm proud.
Did a little band in middle school. Was the best instrumentalist.
Were you guys forced to do a fine arts like in middle school?
You could choose.
My middle school, we were forced to do it for 1 year.
Oh.
Either had to do band, orchestra, or choir. Were you not? Is that not how things work for you?
Not doing Dandridge.
And I'm not from Dandridge.
Oh, it's Granger County. My bad.
That wasn't one of the Granger things they did.
No, I had to take art.
So good. Oh,
art or
finger
chorus,
painting,
and I took art.
Sounds boring.
Stay here for art, but also stay for the sports.
That's
You're listening
right.
to The Blitz
That's
right here
right.
on Fan Run Radio. Hour number 2, coming up next.